Welcome to the radio ministry of Albertville First Baptist Church. We invite you to join us each Sunday at 9 a.m. right here on 105.1 WQSB. For more information about the ministries of First Baptist Church or to listen to previously recorded messages, please visit albertvillefbc.church. If you do not have a church home, please join us for worship this Sunday at 8:30 a.m. or 10:30 a.m. We hope you are blessed by today's broadcast.
Bring your addictions to the foot of the cross. Bring your mess, your circumstance. Bring your greatest need. Take a moment right now to bring your worry and your concern. whether it be a health diagnosis, whether it be a career decision, whether it be a child that's walking far from God, a spouse that needs the Lord, whether it be just a need in your own life, right now. Listen, let's not have business as usual. You know, we've got a plan. We sing a song, we have a welcome, we sing a few songs, we have a message. Listen, it's not about our order. It's not about it's what we have prepared. Let's stop and let's ask the Lord to do a work in our hearts and minds. So right now, with our heads bowed, what about you? Do you have a need? Do you need God to show up in your life and do something powerful? Maybe there's something going on in your family and you just need the Lord. Maybe it's something that no one else knows about. But right here at the beginning, it's not going to be easy for you to sing upbeat songs to the Lord. You just have a burden and you need to give it to God. So take just a second and confess it to Him, what your need is, what the desire of your heart is, what's on your mind. Let's give it to Him right now. Father God, every person in this room, there's hundreds of people in this room, others participating online, others who are listening on the radio. The reality is we all come with a different circumstance. It's amazing to think that hundreds of lives can intersect into a song and we can lift up praise to You and truth of what it says. Whatever's going on in our hearts, in our families, in our histories, in our existence, in our world this morning, all of us can have an intersection of thought and truth. For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whosoever believes in Him would not perish but live forever. God, let us grab a hold of that truth. It's a promise from You. It's a promise of grace. It's a promise of mercy. It's a promise of new life. So I pray that You would meet everyone in their situation right now, that we would lay our burdens, our addictions, our needs, our failures. We would lay it all at Your feet right now, and we would ask You to please then take and make us new in You. Let us walk in Your newness and Your power. God, thank You for that. Lord, I also pray for our church of the week right now. Lord, I pray that You might be with First Baptist Church of Gunnersville. So we pray for them, their Pastor Joel today, that You'd speak through him, that'd be a powerful day. Father, we pray for our mission partners of the week right now. I pray for S and A who live in the Detroit area and also serve in a South Asian country. Father, I pray that You would move in power among them. I pray for the people there in Detroit and Windsor that come from a Muslim background who are hearing truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ, that they would respond and give their lives to You. Father, we pray for the Kumi people. There's a translation team working on a scripture for them for the very first time to have the Bible in their own language. Oh God, I pray that You would give them clarity, give them purpose, give them the stamina to finish the job. I pray for the spiritual warfare that attacks against them as they try to translate the Bible, that You would send angels to protect them and watch over them. Father, we pray that soon, as we get to provide the physical Bibles for the first time in that language, the audio Bibles for the first time in that language, Lord, that every dollar that's given in a resource for that, Lord, that we could be privileged to be a part of Your kingdom's purpose around the world. Oh God, move in power among the Kumi people. May they come to know You. But God, right now I pray for every heart of every believer in the room, that we would resolve to say, Lord, You be our vision. You be our strength. We focus on You. We follow after You. We sing this old song of faith as a reminder of who You are right now. In Jesus' name, would you remain standing and sing this hymn together? Be Thou My Vision.
Save us. cast our eyes upon you this morning, Father. God, be our vision. Be our direction. God, be our purpose. God, as we sing these songs, these wonderful hymns of praise, God, we are reminded that we serve a God who is living, active, and breathing in our lives. We serve a God that lives. We serve a God that is infinite, eternal, Lord. So God, as we sing this beautiful song, Father, may we fix our eyes on you. May we propel doxology worthy of praise to the one that deserves it, to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords of our life. In your name we do pray. Amen. Just sing this with us. God sent his Son. They call him Jesus. He came to love, heal, and forgive. He bled and died to buy my pardon. An empty grave is there.
I'll stand strong and worship you. And if it puts me in the fire, I'll rejoice because you're there too. I won't be formed by feelings. I hold fast to what is true. If the cross brings transformation, then I'll be crucified with you. Because death is just a doorway into
Don started us in that bridge. It says, I won't bow to idols. Listen, will you make this your prayer? Christ be magnified in you and me. And let this be your declaration, really a confession that says, God, I will stand and worship you. Would you sing it with us again? Let's start again. And I won't bow to idols. Come on.
I'll stand strong and worship you. And if it puts me in the fire, I'll rejoice because you're there too. I won't be formed by feelings. I hold fast to what is true. If the cross brings transformation, I'll be crucified with you.
Come on, sing it.
Because death is just a doorway into resurrection life. If I join you in your sufferings, then I'll join you when you rise.
Person next to us that doesn't know him, that he'll look bigger to them. To those in our family that know him, but maybe they're having a hard day, that he'll look bigger to them. That Christ magnified in our lives. That's a big statement. Let the praise arise, not from our lips, but from our lives, from how we live, that our children would see Jesus in us, that our neighbors would see Jesus in us, that our co-workers would see Jesus in us. Father, that those that would oppose us or maybe not like us that much and stand at odds with us would see Jesus in us. That people on the other side of the political aisle would see Jesus in us. That people all around the world would see Jesus in the life of the bride of Christ right here in this church, in this place, in this moment. Christ be magnified in us and now be magnified in his own word. In Jesus' name, amen. Be seated, friends. We continue our series called Made for More. This is week 4 of our series. We started on Resurrection Sunday, Easter. It's hard to believe that was 4 weeks ago, but we are continuing to walk through Romans chapter 8. We'll pick up today in Romans 8, 18 if you have your Bible. If you don't have a Bible with you, it'll be on the screen overhead. But I want to give you the context of Romans 8, 18. It's actually found in Genesis chapter 3. You don't have to turn there. I'll read it to you. You stay in Romans 8. But we find where Adam and Eve have been put on the planet. God is populating the earth with those that would love him and follow him and know him and serve him and give him glory because he's worthy of glory. But the serpent comes along, the enemy comes along and tempts Eve, and then she tempts Adam, and from there they walk in sin and find themselves in the garden full of sin and in the curse, and a problem arises. So here we pick up in Genesis 3:17. It says, and to Adam God said, because you have listened to the voice of your wife and have eaten of the tree of which I commanded you, you shall not eat of it. Cursed is the ground because of you. In pain you shall eat of it all the days of your life. You see, God always ordained work to be done, but he didn't ordain for work to be done with pain and sweat of the brow and difficulty. That's because of sin. Verse 18, thorns and thistles in it shall bring forth for you, and you shall eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your face you shall eat bread till you return to the ground till we die. For out of it you were taken, for you are dust, and to dust you shall return. When sin entered the picture, when they gave in to temptation, death enters the picture as well. The world begins to spiral on an axis that's going to lead it to destruction someday and then to be made new by the Lord. As individuals, it started from that point forward. Every time someone was born, they start living and they immediately start dying. There's coming a day we will all pass from this life. The reality is you have to decide where you're going to spend eternity. You can spend it in heaven or we can spend it in hell, separated from God. There is no in between, heaven or hell. And the reality is that God comes to bring new life for us. And that's what we've been studying in Romans chapter 8. In Romans chapter 8, what we've already studied, it says, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life has set men free from the law of sin and death. What does that mean? It means those who are in Jesus, who know him, who have a relationship with him, we are not bound for an eternal hell. We are solidified in this place where we will spend eternity with God in heaven. Amen? Listen, anything above burning in hell is a privilege, and understand that God has given you the privilege of new life and living for him on this earth now. But in the midst of that, we find it's more than just waiting someday to die and go to heaven. I love Because He Lives, and it talks about the fact that we will someday be in heaven. But I love that second verse. It talks about living on this earth, how sweet it is to hold a newborn baby. Listen, our faith family has been blessed with some new little babies over the past 3 weeks. Matt and Ashley Moon have a new little one, and they're doing great. And then Matthew and Abby Roy, see Matthew here today, they have a new little one, and they're doing great. John and Peyton Nelson have a new little one, and they're doing great. Y'all know what that is. This is a commercial for the nursery, people, all right? No, I'm just kidding. But we would love for you. It's what a blessing. And to know that new life is coming and what is happening and how God does that, and to know that he's working. And that verse talks about that he's helping that child face uncertain days. What does that mean? Listen, you know what it means. Every person on this planet who's alive knows that there's uncertain days coming for any innocent one born on this earth. There's days of difficulty and pain and heartache, but because of Jesus, we can walk new and fresh in him. So it's not just about dying someday, verse 3 of Because He Lives. It's also verse 2. It's living for him. Because he lives, we can live today. We can face tomorrow. We can walk through that. So Romans talks to us about what that means. It goes on to tell us that we have the Holy Spirit living inside of us, and that we can walk out what that means. And through Christ's sacrifice, we've been adopted as sons and daughters of the King. Last week, Moses helped me share that and hopefully make sense of that for you, what it means to be adopted into God's family. And one of the beautiful parts of that is that we get to cry out to God and call him not just Father God, not something it is. We want to be reverent, but we get to call him Abba, Father, Daddy, personal. It's a real, intimate, personal walk with the creator of the universe. It is more than just he created you and you better not mess up. It's that he calls you his child. And all of that happened because of Jesus. And then we read in Romans where because of that, now the Holy Spirit seals us and grabs a hold of us, and we walk in the Holy Spirit and by the power of the Holy Spirit. So with that in mind, now we pick up in verse 18. Now remember, sin is spiraling in the world, Genesis chapter 3. God tells us that even for ladies, part of the curse of sin is that as beautiful as childbirth was for all of these the past few weeks, there's pain involved with it. There's difficulty involved with it. That for us, as wonderful as it is to give God glory through work and through using our hands and our feet and our bodies and our minds for the glory of God, that there's sweat that comes along with it and difficulty that comes along with it. All because where sin entered the picture in Romans 3. Now listen to how Paul echoes that and speaks of it. Excuse me, in Genesis 3. Now how Paul echoes that and speaks of it in Romans 8:18. He says, "For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us. For the creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the sons of God." Now, you're already a son of God, men who know Jesus. You're already a daughter of God, ladies who know Jesus. What this is talking about, and if you read the context of all of Romans, this is a day that is coming when our mortal bodies, our old bodies, will be glorified to match our reborn soul status in Christ. So if your soul has been reborn, your body will one day be made new too. Who's excited about having a new body in Christ? Come on, raise your hand. Come on, that's right. I'm going to be in shape. It's coming, I'm telling you. It's going to be awesome. And so the reality is we will have that. And so the scripture goes on to say in verse 20, "For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be set free from its bondage to corruption and obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation has been groaning together in the pains of childbirth until now." What's Paul saying? He is telling every one of his Roman believers who would be listening to this, and as it was read to them at some point after he wrote it down, all of those now would be pointed back to Genesis, pointed back to what we know as Genesis chapter 3 and the groaning of the planet of creation and the pain that's involved in childbirth and the pain that's involved in all of creation. The reality is our earth has been spiraling in sin and decay, and the earth itself, just like us, is waiting for the time when Christ will come and make all things new. Now, until that time, science would tell us we'll continue to see natural disasters, we'll continue to see weather events, we'll continue to see physical decay. That's going to happen. But the reality is that there will be a time when God will take all that and make it new in him. And the scripture talks about it's in an incredible, awesome, and awe-filled and awful way that it's going to happen. But it will happen, and heaven will come to earth. New Jerusalem will. Keep going in verse 23. "And not only the creation, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies." Now, you're already, again, an adopted son or daughter, but now it's saying you're waiting for the complete adoption, the redemption of your bodies. So there will be a time where what's happened in your soul and what's happened in your life will be caught up to with what's happening in your body, that Christ will return, our bodies will be made new, and the full adoption takes place. Then it goes on to say, "For in this hope we were saved. Now hope that is seen is not hope, for who hopes for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience." So our hope is not just wishful thinking. It's not, man, I really hope it's going to be pretty weather today so I can go to the lake, or pretty weather so I can go to the fair, or pretty weather so I can walk in the neighborhood, or pretty weather so I can sit inside and take a nap. Whatever yours happens to be, the reality is that's wishful thinking. We can't control the weather. It's going to be what it's going to be. It's not, I hope that we're going to win that game next weekend, or I hope that this will happen. No, it's not wishful thinking. It is based on the truth and the reality that God is who he says he is, that Jesus is is who he says he is, that they will do what they say they will do. Our hope is based on that. I love the song. The hope is based on Jesus. How about, we've sung some great hymns today. Let's give one more a cappella. My hope is built on nothing, come on, than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. You know the chorus? On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand, all other ground is sinking sand. That's hope. The hope is on the fact that Jesus is the rock. Now you can't see Jesus right now in this moment. We don't see him. But we experience him, we know him, we walk in him, we've been saved by him, we have him in our lives, and the Holy Spirit seals that. So our hope is built on the foundation that Jesus is the rock on which we stand, and all other ground is sinking sand. Let's keep going, verse 26. Romans 8, 26. Likewise, the Spirit, that's the Holy Spirit, capital S, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what to pray as we ought. But the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And he who searches hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. Now, this idea that the Holy Spirit, when you pray, first of all, he helps us in our weakness. And this idea that the Holy Spirit, when you pray, is interceding for you with groanings that we can't understand, or when we don't even know what to pray or how to pray. This is not talking about speaking in tongues. That's another beautiful gift that God has provided for a number of believers that the scripture talks about and Paul talks about in another place. He's talking very differently about this. This is what all believers experience when we understand this. And I wrote it down this way. The Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness. The Holy Spirit prays on our behalf when we pray, and the Holy Spirit always stays in line with the will of God the Father. Have you ever been at a place where you just didn't know what to pray and you couldn't get the words out? Listen, I'll tell you, I'll give you a little example. Monday, I had some minor surgery, and when I'm not a really good patient coming out of anesthesia, and so when I came out of, I think the word my wife uses is wimp, but that's a different story. But I'm not a good patient coming out of anesthesia. Now, as I was coming out of that, if you've ever, many of you have been put to sleep at some point, and so maybe for you it's easy, but for the rest of us that struggle a little bit, it's that place where you can't open your eyes. They won't open, but you're starting to wake up, and you're beginning to realize things are happening around you. I was realizing I was being rolled down the hallway. Couldn't get my eyes open to see it. And they start asking you questions, and they start asking you, roll into a place, and they stop, and they say, can you lift up this hand? And I just said, that was all that came out. That's all I could get out. I went to say yes, and then they said, can you lift up and scooch over to this other bed? And it came out as, And I wanted to come out as, I just had surgery. Why would you ask me to move? But anyway, but I did that and moved over. But I couldn't get the words out. So some of you understand that. You've been there and you know what I'm talking about. And so the reality is I sort of pictured that in this whole idea, because I feel like that's an example of my prayer life in times of distress. That's an example of my prayer life in times of worry and concern. That's an example of my prayer life at 2 a.m., 2:15 a.m., 3 a.m., when I wake up and I just can't even form the words, and the scripture is clear. It says the Holy Spirit helps you in your weakness when you can't even find the words to pray, and the Holy Spirit intercedes for you. If you don't leave here with any good news today except that, to know that if you know Jesus, the Holy Spirit is helping you pray. The Holy Spirit is praying for you, and the Holy Spirit will always pray in accordance with God the Father's will. We're going to get that wrong at times, but oh, to know that he doesn't. What a joy and privilege that is. What that sort of reminds me of is we're living in a day and age, technology-wise, it's scary and incredible all at once. We have something that has become the new phenomenon these past few years, but especially the last 12 to 16 months, and it's going to be huge in the years to come, artificial intelligence. And if you don't know much about it, your life's already affected by it. But soon your life will be greatly affected by it. And we have the technology to where anything you want to ask, you can get an answer instantly. And I did that this morning before church. I get here early, got into my office, pulled out my AI app, and I asked it this question. I thought it would be fun for you to see how fast it works. And I said, please give me a poem that announces the potluck meal at our church next Sunday called Vittles in the Venue. And literally, by the time I hit send, it was instantly, in less than 1 second, my phone was populating this poem from artificial intelligence. So I'm going to read it to you. It says this. Here's your announcement for next Sunday night. Gather round, you faithful few, for Vittles in the Venue we shall strew. Potluck delights, oh, what a sight, from casseroles to pies, oh, so right. The church halls echo with hungry glee as we gather round the food jubilee. Mac and cheese, a golden treasure, brings joy beyond all measure. But let us not forget the salad bowl, with greens so fresh it'll cleanse your soul. And dessert, a sweet temptation, brings smile to every congregation. So come one, come all, to the feast divine, with laughter and fellowship intertwined. Vittles in the Venue, what a delight. Let's eat, let's share, let's make this night bright. So, now I could have written that poem, but it would have taken me half a day, you know, maybe. It would have taken me a little while, but it literally, artificial intelligence did it in less than a second. In less than a second, it was populated. Now, that may scare you, that may frighten you, that may intrigue you. I don't know, but here's what I would say to you. This idea that is new in our society, that there can be this great help that will help you with your work, that will help you with your play, that will help you with your health, that will help you in all sorts of ways, that's coming, and you're going to hear more and more about it. Don't let them fool you into any moment of thinking that somehow it's the first way people have been helped in ways beyond their control. The reality is the Holy Spirit is not a tool. The Holy Spirit is not an app, but the Holy Spirit is the one-third of the triune Godhead, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. But the Holy Spirit has been this incredible help, much greater intelligence than we could ever know, who has been working in our lives ever since Jesus left the planet 2,000 years ago in the flesh, and the Holy Spirit came to dwell in the lives of believers. Again, we have to quit treating the Holy Spirit like a tool, but we must understand that He is God. But this God, this one God, the triune Godhead, is at work in our lives. And so the Holy Spirit is one part of the Trinity. You say, how does the Trinity work in my life? It works every time you pray. You are praying to God the Father through Jesus Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit, God the Holy Spirit. That's one example, but over and over we see that is the case. So what does the Holy Spirit do when you pray? John 14:16 says the Holy Spirit is our helper. Aren't you glad there's someone to help make sense of your words and my words? Aren't you glad there's someone to help make sense of your thoughts and my thoughts? John 14:26 says the Holy Spirit will teach us and will help us remember God's truth. Listen, I don't know about you, but my memory, my rememberer does not always work so well. But isn't it nice to know you have a supernatural God Himself, the Holy Spirit, who is helping you to remember what is sown deep down inside you in the Word of God and the truth of God, and will teach us His Word. John 15:26 tells us that the Holy Spirit bears witness about Jesus. So God the Spirit bears witness about God the Son. And you say, Chris, this whole idea of the Trinity and understanding the triune Godhead and how it is one God in three distinct persons and the essence of that, that is so hard, it's mind-blowing. Yes, it is mind-blowing, and we certainly can't settle it all right now in your mind, but what I can tell you is that the Holy Spirit is at work in your life. So when you are praying and you feel like your prayers are not working and you say, I just don't know how to pray, please hear me say, if you know Jesus and you're praying, Paul just said the Holy Spirit's helping you pray. The Holy Spirit's helping you pray. Don't stop praying. In fact, a little crowd participation. Would you help me with that phrase? I'm going to say it again, and I'm going to shout it out, then ask you to shout it out with me. Don't stop praying. Don't stop praying. You need to shout that to yourself every day. Don't stop praying. praying. Don't stop praying bold prayers for your family. Just yesterday, I had to drop different ones in our household off. I dropped one off. I was getting ready for something that they were doing, a performance they were doing. And when they got out of the car, I said a little prayer for them that fit what they were doing. I dropped two more off at the fair, and I said a little prayer for the fair workers, and I said a little prayer for them and for what was happening there. And throughout the day, at different times, taking people to school, doing that, we'll pray for them. But those are just simple, specific prayers about something specific. What I'm saying is don't stop praying bold prayers for your family. Not just help them in this moment or help them through this or help them with that. But God, use them to change the world. Radically save them. Help them to walk in your peace and your goodness. Help them to exhibit your spirit, the fruit of your spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Don't stop praying bold prayers for your family. Don't stop praying kingdom-shaking prayers for our community. Listen, I'm praying. Listen, not only has God provided with the Maker's Child Playground, it's beautiful back there. It's almost open. Don't you go play on that yet. It's still closed. But it's almost open in just a few weeks. It will be. But what an incredible tool it's going to be to show an entire segment of our society that God loves them and cares about them, and so do we. But to give everyone an opportunity to see the gospel with their hands and feet and to know it. So our prayers can't just be let them have fun on the playground. Our prayers have got to be, oh God, would you use it that your spirit would bring comfort and help and peace and show truth to every person that walks out there. Use it to change lives. Bold prayers for that. You think about what we're praying, and don't stop praying for your family. Don't stop praying bold prayers for our community. Don't stop asking for deliverance for your friends. If there's one thing I've come to realize, even in the last few weeks, this world still needs deliverance. People are still hurting. People are still in bondage. People still have problems. Let's keep asking God for deliverance. And don't stop praying for God's will to be done in and among those around us. Don't stop praying. Now let's move on to the verse that will be probably the most well-known verse in the Bible after John 3:16 that we sang this morning. It's Romans 8:28. It says this: "And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose." Now, let me start right here. This verse has been misappropriated many times. This verse does not mean you get whatever you want anytime you want it. That's not what this verse says. This verse does not mean that everything that happens in your life is good. That's not what this verse says. Listen, friends, I've walked on this planet now almost 53 years. Some of you much longer than that. Some of you much less than that. But the reality is, I've walked long enough to know that not everything on this earth is good. And there are some difficult and hard and painful things that happen. This verse is not saying everything that's happened to you is good. It's saying for those who love God, those who know him, all things work together for good for those who are called according to his purpose. You see, because of the curse of sin in this world, bad things will happen. But for those of us who know God and love God, he works all things for our good and his glory. Now, that's not easily explained to others. It's not easily explained to ourselves at times. In my own family, I can think back to tragedy we've seen maybe many years ago, and things that started out looking like a loss of a pregnancy, and things that look like a closed door towards birthing children, and things that look like difficult roads that we weren't going to be able to go down. What started out looking painful and horrible led to the incredible adoption of our children. And listen, by all means, we can say now on this side of that, Romans 8:28 is so true. God worked that out for our good and for his glory. And oh, how glorious he is. But friends, can I encourage you, whatever you know someone that's going through a difficulty, before you just start spouting that verse at them, I have my own feelings about Romans 8:28. I believe every word of it. But I also believe that that's the kind of verse that if you're not careful, there are certain verses in the Bible that we weaponize and we mean well, but we'll use them in a way that's a little haphazard, or we throw them out there quickly. And if someone's walking in the middle of their tragedy and it's a horrible, horrible tragedy, and you just walk up to them and say, "All things work together for good for those that love God," you know what they want to do? punch you in the nose. They don't want to. They don't want to give you the. I mean, they do. And so the reality is, here's what I would say, and take this to heart and for what it's worth. These are my words. I believe the scripture. I believe it's true. But my thoughts are, this is probably a verse that's better that we quote to ourselves than we quote it to others. You can disagree with that. That's okay. But I just have found in my own life, it's important to allow the Holy Spirit to bring that truth and understanding. Now, be ready to help them with it. But the reality is they've got to walk through that and experience that verse for themselves. And so it's important that we think through how to use the scripture and how to it is true in every aspect, but how to use that. Let God weave his truth in their story. But really, what does that verse mean? It just means that God can be trusted to do his part. He can. Now let's keep going. The next two verses that say this, Romans 8:29. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined. That's a trigger word in many churches. For those he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son in order that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those whom he predestined, he also called, and those whom he called, he also justified, and those whom he justified, he also glorified. Now you may say, Chris, I get scared when people start talking about predestination. I don't believe in predestination. All I can say to you is, I did not write Romans chapter 8. Right here, it's very clear, okay? Now, but hold on a minute. You may say, well, what do you believe? Do you believe in predestination? And now here's what I would say to you. Some of you have already heard this before, but I'll share my thoughts about Calvinism, the idea of Reformed theology versus Arminianism, the idea that it's our choice and we can hold on to it or lose it if we want, versus whatever you happen to believe. I would say this, I have family members and friends, lots of friends that would be a 5-point Calvinist. There are 5 points to it. I don't have time to go over that right now. You can look it up later on your own. We can talk about it. Those happen to be used initials T-U-L-I-P, so it's like a flower, a tulip. So you might have heard of the 5-point flower of Calvinism. What I can tell you about me, if you ask me if I am a Calvinist, I would say that my tulip only has two little leaves. It just wilts. It's not much of one. And so really, no, I'm not. But on the same regards, I'm not one to follow Arminius either. I don't believe that I just choose anytime I want to be saved because I was dead in my sins and dead things don't make choices. And the reality is that the Holy Spirit draws us to salvation. So you say, Chris, well, you seem confused. You seem to believe a little bit of both. I want to believe the Bible and not get stuck on some man's name or what he is called to believe. And here's how I would define it for you and for me to know and understand. I believe the scripture when Peter says God is willing that none should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Amen? I believe that all should come to repentance and that God is willing that none would. Now, I also understand that some do. Many do, but he's willing that none would perish. I also believe Paul's words himself, who wrote Romans, Paul's words when he says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Amen? I believe that. I also believe Paul's words when he says that we were chosen from the foundation of the world in Ephesians. So how is it that we could believe all these things, but also Paul saying that they were predestined and foreknown, and this would be the case? And if you really want to read more about predestination, just read on to chapter 9 of Romans. The entire chapter speaks of this. So how is it? Is Paul contradicting himself? No. Is he coming to a place where there's two different thoughts, and he's just saying, choose the one you want? No. It's the idea and understanding that the idea of salvation is much larger than your brain and my finite brain could ever understand. I fully believe that the verses that says, whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord and chosen from the foundation of the world intersect somewhere out there ahead of us at a place where I don't even understand, and that God had a plan of truth where both of those line up and make sense. And the reality is, if I have to fully understand how those come together, then I am never going to understand what it means to walk new in Christ. Instead, my commitment is that we, and myself included, would share the gospel with anyone and everyone who listens, because God is willing that none should perish. And God knows exactly who's going to give their life to him, but he also says, whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So if you've got to put yourself in a camp somewhere, feel free. But the reality is I want to stand on these scripture verses and the truth and the urgency that we're to share our faith and we're to live that out. Because the reality, these verses are not something we're supposed to get stuck in about whether we're saved or not and how that happens. The truth of the matter is Paul speaks about grace and mercy over and over in this book. And here he is simply saying, trust God. Trust the sovereign God. Trust that God has a plan. And I believe that is really what this is about, is that I can trust God. I can trust him, as we learned in Romans, to make the earth and all of his creation new someday. It's coming. We just read that. I can trust him to know that the Holy Spirit's going to help me pray because I don't always know how to do it, and the Holy Spirit's going to help me through the will of the Father. I can trust that because we just read it. I can trust him that he's going to walk into the messiest of my mess in my life and that he's going to move in a way that is for my good and his glory and his good, and he can always do that because of his sovereign power. But not only can I trust him, friends, you can trust him. You can trust him to save you from your own curse of sin. Just like Adam and Eve brought about the curse of sin. Listen, don't give them too hard a time. If they hadn't failed and we waited thousands of years of people living in perfection, there's a good chance you and I would have come along and messed up. So just know that he walks in the messiest of mess, in the curse of our sin, and he takes and he makes us new. That's what Jesus specializes in. You can trust the Holy Spirit to intercede for you when you pray. You say, I don't know how to pray. Pray anyway. Keep praying. Say, I don't have the words to pray. Pray anyway. Keep praying. Just ask the Holy Spirit to pray for you and to help you. You can trust God with your circumstances and situations, that he will use them to make you more like him. Now, you may not like it. There's plenty of circumstances that I didn't sign up for, but the reality is I trust him in all of those. We can trust that God is for our eternal good because that brings him his eternal glory. You can trust him even when life is messy. If your marriage is a mess, and I'll be honest, in a room this size, somebody's marriage is a mess. It's just the truth. If your marriage is, and I'm not meaning that like knowing something about you. I just, in this kind of statistics, somebody in here is struggling, and it was just a struggle for you to get here today together. And I understand. Listen, I'm glad you're here. You can trust God with your marriage. Now, what does that mean? That doesn't mean just let it go and just he'll take care of it. No, it means you need to dig into his word, into his people, into godly counseling, and do the work that the Holy Spirit might work in your life and trust that God can take and make something beautiful out of the mess of your marriage. You can trust God to work in the mess of a career situation you're struggling through. We can trust him to work with a family member. We can trust him as we've been praying for that one person to be saved for years and it's still not happened. I can't tell you God's timing and understanding, but I will say this, don't stop praying. As we talked about earlier, if there's some struggle in life weighing you down, ask him for help. Don't stop praying. If you're struggling which way to go in a life decision, ask him for help. Don't stop praying. Don't stop praying. Would you bow with me? With our heads bowed for just a moment. I want to encourage you to stop and to think through what that means. I want to ask you to stop and reflect on your own life. This is just a little time of privacy. We're not going to focus on my part of that, or we're going to just take a second and focus on what the Holy Spirit would do in your life. I'm going to ask him what he's going to do in my life. He intercedes when we don't know how to pray. He helps us in our weakness. God himself will take and make even the earth that was groaning new, and he can surely do that in our lives. So where are you? With your heads bowed, what's going on in your life? What's the need that you have? Maybe there's an emotion or a feeling or a physical condition that you're struggling with. Don't stop praying. Trust him. Maybe you got a family member that's hurting, it's in trouble. Don't stop praying. Trust him. Maybe you've got a financial need. Don't stop praying. Trust him. Follow his plan. Maybe, I don't know, there's somebody in your life you just want to come and pray for. Maybe for you, though, you realize that as much as God is going to make all things new as he brings about our complete adoption as his sons and daughters, you don't want to just sit around and wait for the day we die and go to heaven. You want to live for the Lord today. Would you come and make repentance and make a renewed commitment to him? So the altar is open. It's just steps. Nothing holy about the front of the room, except that we set it apart, and that's what the word holy means. So we're making it holy. We're setting it apart. This is a place where we can come and in humility bow the knee and bend the heart and say, God, I need you to work in my parents. I need you to work in my siblings. I need you to work in my life. God, I need you to save me. God, I need you to help me. God, I need you to help me with this addiction. God, I need you to help me with this. This is where we come and we ask God to move in our life or on the behalf of someone else. So would you come? For others, maybe you have another decision or need to in your life. I'll be right here. I'd love to pray with you. So would you come? Father God, please have your way among us now. Let the truth of Romans 8, 18 through 30 soak into our hearts and lives as we seek to trust in you. In Jesus' name, amen. So here's what we're going to do.
You've been listening to the radio ministry of Albertville's First Baptist Church. For more information, please call 256-878-2291 or visit www.albertvillefbc.org. We hope you will join us next Sunday at 9 a.m. right here on 105.1 WQSB.